listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Reading from the song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Reading the third stanza tells us of the cross, his grave, and how he liveth again. Listen to those wonderful words. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay. Let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Reading today from Acts chapter 17, beginning at verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, he had left Silas and Timothy behind, And waiting there at Athens, he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, he seemed to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him, and brought him unto R. E. Orpeth, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean." For all the Athenians and the strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood up in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Whom, therefore, you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, 'For we also are his offspring.' Forasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art of man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, 'We will hear thee again of this matter.'" Let's pray that we'll be able to hear these words rightly. We know that those to whom the word was first given, Israel, and the prophets amongst them, were told to write these things, were described as having ears and hearing not, and they didn't understand with their heart, lest they should be converted. Oh, what a solemn thing it is to have this perfect word of God, this holy Bible before our eyes, and the message of it coming into our ears, for the glory of God, and by which we can be saved and reconciled to God through Christ, and then not to hear it. Or even as we read in the end, some mocked, and others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." We can hear it today. Let's pray that God will give us hearts to understand. We ask, Father, for thy grace in Christ to be given us, that we might rightly give thee glory in hearing thy word, that we might rightly want what thou, Lord Jesus, to teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know that in heaven it is at perfection. And we know that in one way it is being done on the earth, what thou dost allow, but many things are not pleasing in thy sight, even as the death of thy Son, though it was even according to thy determinate counsel, It was thy gift given to sinners that Christ would come, that he would die in our stead. But yet we know also it was done by wicked hands. It was done because of unbelieving hearts. And we pray, Father, that we might see these things aright. We might see thy kingdom described in thy word, and that we might be enabled to see and to believe and to enter in by faith into that kingdom of which Christ is the door. And we pray, Father, in his name that thou wilt send the Spirit to mightily apply this word where we know it, and that thou wilt open hearts where we do not know it to give understanding, even as the apostles' hearts were opened on the day of resurrection by thee, Lord Jesus. And we pray that we might know both the scriptures that were written before thy death, telling of thy coming, of that death, so much and so plainly, so often. And as Paul could say here, that these wicked ones had fulfilled the word, even the scriptures, by condemning thee, Lord Jesus. And then, Father, that thou didst raise him again from the dead. And we pray that we might know that message, the message of the gospel, that good news that thou didst give Christ, the good news that he died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he rose again according to the scriptures. Those words and that message by which we can be saved, unless we have believed in vain. We pray, Father, for that to be known in the church, that there might again be, as in the time of the Great Awakening, surprising conversions. We pray that there might be that throughout the world. We pray that the church might also be revived of those who are thy children, that they will again be made one in the truth, that they will be made one in prayer, to pray for thy blessing, to rightly give thee praise and to give thanks, to believe thy word and what has promised to be done before the end. And we pray, Father, also for the other blessings needed, the temporal blessings, the secondary blessings, in health, in food, in raiment, in homes, in peace on earth. And we pray, Father, that these also might be given. And we pray, Father, that where they are not given, that they be means in thy hand to teach us and to make us to cry out to thee, to learn from thee, even through the chastenings that are given. We pray, Father, for those who are in suffering, those in sorrow, those who are in lonesomeness, troubled homes, broken homes, sickness, injury. We pray, Father, for all of these, the widows and the widowers. We ask for thy leading in the workplace, in the schools, in every place, Father, that we might have thy blessing through and because of Christ. We know we deserve thy judgment, but we plead that with thy holy scriptures, thou wilt so teach us that we might be revived in the church and awakened in the world, that there may be a coming back to thee instead of thy coming to us in judgment, all through Christ. Amen. As we saw last week from Acts chapter 13, there Paul was in the synagogue. There he was amongst the Jews, and they asked him, said, if you have any words, say on. And he spoke to them of David, the promises of the things that had been promised to Israel and Israel that had been fulfilled, and especially the promises of the coming of Christ that were there so plainly given, as so often stated. And Paul also stated that he preached none other things than what Moses and the prophets said should come, that Christ should die and rise again. And here, Paul, after speaking to them in the synagogue, said that their rulers had fulfilled the scriptures in condemning Christ and urged Pilate to crucify him. And Pilate, resisting them, finally gave in when they said if he let the Lord Jesus go, he was not Caesar's friend. That evidently filled Pilate with fear. And he gave in. But then we read that God raised him again from the dead. And all through that message, Paul brings us the message of the resurrection, as well as other things from Scripture. Over and over, he comes back to that. He stated it in the earlier part of his message, verse 30, but God raised him from the dead. Then he speaks again of the scriptures that were given to the fathers and the glad tidings that the promise was there and of which God had fulfilled the same. Paul says, and us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it is written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So we can read it in the 30th verse. We can read it in the 33rd verse. And then we can read again where Paul refers to another Psalm, Psalm 16. And in verse 37 we read, but he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Take the words of David in that 16th Psalm. And then giving that wonderful message, and by him all that believe are justified from all things for which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Many in Israel believe they were justified by the law, and they fulfilled the law themselves, but they did not. None. No, not none. There's none righteous. No, not one. Now, we find Paul at Athens. He had been traveling, and he reached Athens, and we can read in the verses earlier, they sent away Paul, and then they conducted him and brought him to Athens, and we began to read that Paul was there at Athens, waiting for Timothy and Silas, and when he saw what was taking place in that city. Athens, one of the cities of the Greeks, given wholly to idolatry. What is idolatry? Many different things. Everything from making idols of wood and stone and silver and gold, but also, as Paul wrote to the different churches, covetousness, which is idolatry. And we can read Paul's warning to Timothy that in the last days men will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Many times pleasures becomes an idol. People are taken in with it and overcome with it. All of that is idolatry. And our nation today is consumed by being lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God in many different ways. And when Paul saw that, his spirit was stirred in him. Oh, how he is an example that we should be like that. We should have our spirit stirred when we see things wrong, when we see sin taking place, not only in idolatry, but in other ways as well, in disobedience, in unbelief. And then we read here, and let's remember that this was a heathen city, a city that did not know of the gospel, though they could know some of it by the synagogues that were there in those different cities, but for the most part they did not know it. As we read in the 18th verse, they said, what does this babbler say? They called him a babbler. Others, some, he seemeth to be set forth of his strange gods. And then what did they catch? What was his message? Because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Jesus. Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. Shall save. In planning, in dying, in rising again, and changing, teaching, forgiving. As Paul said to the Corinthians, unless you have believed in vain, we are saved through believing. Believing in this person. If we go back to the previous chapter where Paul was in Philippi, in the Philippian jailer, he said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Not his house being saved just because he would believe, but his house could be saved the same way as him. And then we read that Paul preached unto him and to all that was in his house the word of God, the message of God. And certainly would include this message as he's here speaking in Athens, setting forth strange God, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. When he preached to the Philippian jailer, we read they all believed. They all rejoiced, and they were all baptized. Yes, household believing, household rejoicing, household baptism. all because of Christ. Yes, Christ and Christ alone. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. That's for you today as well as it was then. That will change homes. That will change husbands. That will change wives. That will change children. That will change grandfathers, grandmothers, great and great-grandmothers as well. All of us, every generation. We need to come back to God through Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. He's always been Lord. He's the Creator. And when we see a little further, Paul speaking, when they said, what will this babbler say? And all the Athenians and strangers were there, spent their time in nothing else but to either tell or to hear some new thing. And then we read that Paul stood in their midst on Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions, and I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. I think by this we can see that they were ignorant, but we can also see that in one way there's no excuse. These people seem to know that there must be a God that they didn't know. What should they have done? Not just make an altar, not just give an inscription, not leave it that way. As I said, most of these Gentile cities had synagogues, and they could know. And as we can read another part of the book of Acts, that Moses hath them in every city that speak of him, speak his message. And Moses foretold of Christ as well as gave the law of God. All of that is there. And many people that are ignorant, many people that are unbelieving, know about the gospel. Some only know enough that they hate it. Some only know enough they want to stay as far away from it as possible. But they're without excuse. And you are. If you're an atheist, you don't know for sure there's no God. You don't. You can't. People say, prove the God to me. Prove there's no God. Prove you are right. I know certainly you'll be proven wrong on the day of your death or the return of Christ if you're not proven by the Spirit of God before that, as he did me. He proved there was a God because he showed me so plainly my sin. Nobody else could describe it in that perfect, accurate way. Some people enlarge on it. Some people minimize it. We're all wrong, except God. When one came to the Lord Jesus and said, good master, he said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but God. And Paul here was preaching that God to these Athenians, to these learned Greeks who wanted to know new things, but called Paul a babbler. Then listen to what Paul said in verse 24 of the 17th chapter of Acts. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. You can't make an altar to him. You can't make things of silver and gold. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. It makes me think of the Lord Jesus meeting with the Samaritan woman. And she said, well, where must we worship? You were saying in Jerusalem. We say over here in this place. And the Lord Jesus answered to her was that they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit. He's a spirit that though he is in heaven, as we read here, the Lord of heaven, also the Lord of earth. He's everywhere present. The Lord Jesus could rightly say of the Father that not a sparrow falls to the ground without the will of our Heavenly Father. Sometimes people say, why does God let this happen? I don't know. But one thing I do know, that we must learn through everything that happens. Because it is all for the glory of God. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, resisted God. He said, who is the Lord that I shall obey him? Yet later Paul wrote and said, for this purpose have I raised thee up, that I might make my power known. That's what Pharaoh should have learned, and everybody that thinks about Pharaoh needs to learn that. We don't have to say, why did God do this or why did God do that? Think of what he did. He shows that he is God. In spite of what Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him? He is, as Paul here said. He needs, as if he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. In that way, he is the God of all. He is the creator of all. But he is not the savior of all. He does not give eternal life to all. He gives temporal life to all. Breath and all things. And he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and bounds of their habitation. When Paul wrote to the church at Rome, he spoke of rulers. He said, there be no powers that be but are of God. God has set every ruler in their place. Sometimes he allows wicked rulers to rule. Gives the people what they want, what they deserve. It's not good, not good for them. But God can do it. He gives them over to a reprobate mind. And yet, they're of God, and we must submit. We can pray. But all things are before appointed in the bounds of their habitations. And then the 27th verse, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. How far? Paul gives the answer in the 28th verse. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are his offspring. The heathen often make some reference to God, even as these people had this altar with the inscription to the unknown God, and of which Paul could say, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, I declare unto you. And who did he declare? He's declaring the Son of God. He's declaring Jesus, the one who took on him the form of a man, humbled himself. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was there when God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit created the world. He is there now with the Father, upholding all things by the word of his power. He died 1900 and some years ago. He rose again so that we might be able to come back to God, having our sins paid for through his death and justified by his resurrection. That's the message of the gospel. That's what we are to repent of when we don't believe it, and we are to believe it to the glory of God, believe it to the saving of our soul. And again, those words, as Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And we ought to declare it to the whole nation, to the whole world.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord.